The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Show. Ladies and gentlemen, I will make this brief. My dear mother once said to me,
if you don't have something nice to say about someone, then don't say anything.
So here he is,
Eric Metaxas.
What? What's with the negativity, Todd? Man, I'm just not used to that. Todd's such a dear friend. I won't say anything about it. I am so excited, folks. You know, if you've listened to the Eric Metaxas show, you know that it's the show about everything, which is to say we talk about many different things on this program. Today we're going to talk about hospitality, among other things. We have, as my guest, someone I've not met in person, but somebody I think of as a friend, because I've just admired her work and enjoyed speaking with her on this program a number of times. Her name is Rosaria Butterfield, and I think she's on the line right now. Rosaria, are you there?
I am right here, Eric. It's so good to hear your voice. How are you?
I'm swell, and you're right there.
Swell.
I was excited that you came out with a new book, just because I wanted an opportunity to interview you and talk to you about anything. And suddenly a book comes in the mail. The title of your new book is "The Gospel Comes with a House Key." And then the subtitle is Practicing Radically Ordinary Hospitality in Our Post-Christian World. Okay.
Yes.
I think you should tell the audience, if they've not heard from you before, briefly your story so that they can understand what role hospitality played in your life.
Oh, sure. Right, absolutely. And I do get to this in the book, too, because it's important. And I suspect there are just millions of Christians out there who came to faith through the means of grace and the Word of God, working very powerfully through the hands and feet of everyday Christians. And so when I was a gay rights activist and a professor at Syracuse University in New York, and in a committed lesbian relationship, very happy, not wanting anything to change, it was my Bible-believing Christian neighbors who walked with me and ate meals with me and listened to me and cared for me over a two-year period. And that really changed the way I thought about things. I'll tell you what it didn't change. It didn't change my sexual love for women, not right away. So what's important to know is that it wasn't that I met these Christians and they slammed me with Romans 1 and you know, a little bit like those V8 commercials. I was slapped upside the head and I thought, this is it. No, not at all. What happened was over a period of 2 years, actually, while I was writing a book on the religious right, writing it against these very people and people like them, not understanding why anybody would think that consenting adults don't have the right to do whatever they want. It was in that context that I came to believe that regardless of how I felt, Jesus is who he says he is in the Bible, and I really was compelled by that, and I was compelled by him, and it was a really shocking thing to realize that I actually wasn't on the right side of history, that I thought I was on the side of compassion and good works and diversity and care, and it was shocking to realize that it was actually Jesus I was persecuting the whole time. My coming to faith journey depended so much on Ken and Foy Smith, their open home, their simple meals, their willingness to answer the phone, and their friendship. And also not looking at me like a project. You know, we weren't friends because they thought, oh, once Rosaria is converted, we can have some really good times together. No, right. We had really good times. We did.
That's amazing. I mean, whenever I hear some of the things like what you've just said, I feel like it's my role to underscore them, to go back and annotate, because this is very important. You're talking about being a happy, committed lesbian. In other words, you're not miserable. Yeah. And then Jesus comes into your life and you say, oh, thank goodness, there's a way out of my misery. You're quite happy.
No.
And these people come into your life.
I became kind of miserable after.
Yeah. Well,
after I became a Christian, I lost everything but the dog. That was kind of miserable.
Mm-hmm.
But that's maybe another story.
Well, but it's just interesting. I mean, the reason I say it is because I think that a lot of people have very constricted views of a lot of things, of people's sexuality, yeah, of what they can expect from people, of what a conversion looks like. Your conversion, it strikes me that it takes a very large-hearted person of great faith, like the pastor you're referring to and his family, to trust God without knowing where this is going. Just to say, we're just going to be obedient and we're going to love someone because we're commanded to love someone. And that doesn't mean agreeing with them. It means loving them and being, but I think there are a lot of people on both sides on the left politically, on the right politically, atheists on one side and devout Christians on the other, who are very bad at this. In other words, who really see others on the other side as the enemy rather than as someone to love. And it's a wonderful thing that your neighbor was that kind of a Christian.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, and I suspect there are many, many, many of, quote unquote, that kind of a Christian. But I think we need a little encouragement to step out of the polarized narrative that we've been spinning in now for years. And I would say that it's not just important. This is in this post-Christian world, if Christians don't want to wake up to realize that we're living like the early church in Rome, then it's imperative that we take stock of how we're doing. You know, I do not believe that Christians have been victims of this post-Christian world. I don't believe it's the gay rights movement that took our Bibles away. I think that the reason that some of the arguments that are very much post-Christian arguments that held and swayed the hearts of American people, I think it had a lot to do with what we Christians were not doing. And specifically, I would say that is living in a hospitable way, both within our own communities, but also without, both how we take care of our own, and especially our own who are struggling against sin and maybe failing, and our own who are perhaps single and lonely. Not that those two have to go together, but sometimes they do. The world is watching us. And, you know, sometimes when people ask me how I came to faith, and, you know, it's obviously a longer story than the 20-second, you know, blurb I just gave you. So I did write a book about it. But, you know, it's a pretty excruciating story of how faithful Ken and Floyd Smith were. And sometimes I share this, and I do have people just walk away from me a little bit like the rich young ruler walked away and just say, well, that's nice, Rosaria, but that's too hard. And I think Christians need to revise what it means to be too hard right now, because things are going to get a lot harder.
It's interesting you say that, because I do think that a lot of times people buy into a very constricted version or view of what a conversion must look like. And they have this idea that it's magic and Shazam and, you know, and there are those moments. There can be those moments. But
yeah,
sometimes it's a long process. The guy, my dear friend Ed Tuttle, he faithfully was in my life for about a year before the Lord spoke to me in a dream. And if he had sat me down to argue with me, it would have ended everything.
Right.
He just loved me and was just enough there for me. And I'm so grateful for that, that he didn't have some view like, I'm going to present this track. This is the view. This is the four steps. And if he doesn't accept, I'm going to shake the dust off my feet. He just loved me. He loved me, actually loved me. We're going to go to a break. We're going to come back. We're talking about hospitality. We're talking about the gospel. The book by Rosaria Butterfield, The Gospel Comes with a House Key. We'll be right back.
You're cozy in your little room.
Are you a timeshare owner that would like to get out of your timeshare the right way? Hi, I'm Karen, owner of Lone Star Transfer. Getting out of your timeshare is probably at the top of your to-do list for 2018. Now is the time to make the call to simplify your life. We have an excellent track record and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. So if you want to get rid of those high maintenance fees and annual bills for vacations you never take, call 844-284-4863 or visit us online at LoneStarTransfer.com. That's 844-284-4863. For over a decade, we have been working in timeshare owner advocacy to help those stuck in timeshares. Let us help you with a legal and ethical solution. Call us today for a private, no-obligation consultation. We will give you a solution that will get you out of your timeshare once and for all. Call 844-284-4863 or LoneStarTransfer.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
She seems happier. Her fur is so much shinier, silkier, softer. She has really mellowed a lot.
Sheba is 105 lean pounds of shiny, smooth, happy dog for life.
The shedding has stopped. The itching has stopped.
Since 2001, we've helped more than 250,000 dogs get over their nutritional deficiency miseries.
And saved our customers bazillions in vet bills.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
Come to Dynavite for help.
Dinovite .com.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Dynavite for life.
Don't let your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy.
Come to Dynavite for help.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dinovite.com.
Freedom. One nation in all of human history was built on that bedrock. Ours. A republic of the people, by the people, and for the people. Self-government requires freedom, just as freedom requires an individual willingness to self-govern. Freedom has made America exceptional, but it can only last as long as you and I seek the good, as expressed by the laws of nature and nature's God. It can only last if you and I choose to act as people of character. Forging character has been the pursuit of Hillsdale College since 1844. Hillsdale College forges character and elevates civic discourse both on campus and nationwide. To find out how you can take their free online courses or receive a complimentary subscription to Imprimis, a monthly speech digest, visit hillsdalefreedom.com. That's hillsdalefreedom.com.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400,000 businesses. And right now, listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/America. That's ZipRecruiter.com/America. One more time. To try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/America.
Show you this, I can help. I got two strong legs.
can help folks. He can carry a casserole dish. He can be hospitable. We can all help. That's not why we played that song, but it just occurred to me that, yeah, it's a heavy, hot casserole dish. You know, you don't need to cook it, but can you carry it to the table? That's all you need to do. We're talking about hospitality with Rosaria Butterfield. The book is The Gospel Comes with a House Key, Practicing Radically Ordinary Hospitality in Our Post-Christian World. Now, your books, your previous books, Rosaria, have been about your journey from living in a committed lesbian lifestyle and being a tenured professor in LGBTQ studies, although back in those days we didn't have all those initials. And
I was tenured in the English department.
Yeah,
well, queer theory is what we called it back then.
In this day and age, the English department, we can assume it's so funny. I was even talking to my daughter yesterday. I said the humanities has just been taken over by theory, absolutely. Marxist theory, queer theory, on and on and on. Yes. So if you want to read Middlemarch and just enjoy it as a book, you could do that outside of the college system because it's just gotten kooky. But you were right in the middle of that world studying Freud and Marx and Darwin and, and whatever.
Right.
And then slowly something happened as a result of the hospitality of your neighbors. So obviously you decided to write a book about this. You've written a book about that whole process, but now you're focusing specifically on the issue of how we can be more faithful Christians by being hospitable. So tell us more.
Right. Well, and specifically I'm writing about an incident that happened in our neighborhood 2 years ago. And that was when our friends, we were really his only friend, a pretty reclusive neighbor, was arrested for making crystal meth in his home. And very quickly, our neighborhood became fractured and angry. And, when you dine with the sinner, as Jesus calls us to do, you are often implicated in the sin. And so one of the things that started 2 years ago is that my husband Kent and I started practicing daily hospitality, in part at first to help make sense about the tragedy in our neighborhood. But then it just kind of stuck because, you know, Christians have a working knowledge of sin. We believe that humanity is always tipping somewhere in the balance between human depravity and human dignity, and that people of all stripes need more than just earthly care. We are to walk the whole redemptive process with people. And so while it may sound very strange, every single day, unless we have the flu or something, it's not nice to share the flu with people. But, you know, other than that, every single day, we have an open table. And that open table involves and includes singles from our church and others who might be going through a period of just needing to know who your people are, belonging, knowing where to be, people who are struggling. We often have a number of people who are struggling against unchosen homosexuality. That's part of my life, and it's an open, I'm an open book on that. And so we often have people in our lives and at our table who are strugglers, neighbors who are not yet in faith, who are curious about why Christians do these kinds of things. And then we also include and we seek out strangers. And, you know, we do that in a couple of different ways. We work with agencies. We're home studied. Our home is a place where we have men who are currently incarcerated who can be here on a furlough after a certain pass has been granted. So all of that happens. And it happens, it starts to happen at about 5:30 and, people gather and I make very simple meals that stretch very easily. And then at a certain point in the evening, very organically, again, the children pass the plates up to the kitchen and we pass the Bibles and the coffee mugs down the long row of the long tables. And we have this practice that most Christians do in their home. It's called family devotions. It's where Kent leads us through a chapter of the Bible and we read it, we talk about it, we sing a psalm, and we pray.
It sounds like
we do that every night.
It sounds like you're really living out your faith. And the takeaway for me is you're making me look bad.
Well, that
and I don't like and I don't like it. I don't like it when somebody comes on my show and makes me look bad. So we need to end this conversation. Just kidding.
Well,
no, seriously, you know how I joke, but I love listening to stories like this because it makes me suddenly think, wow, like that is amazing. Forgive me, I'm not trying to embarrass you, but that is so beautiful what you just shared. The idea not everybody can do this. What's that?
No, well, here's what I don't do. I mean, there's a lot of things I don't do. I don't travel very much. I don't do a great deal of book promotion in that way. I don't have any social media presence.
You know,
the time that most people spend I'm spending chopping vegetables.
Okay, so I'm starting to feel better about myself. Keep going.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm saying. I think the whole point of hospitality is to do what you do and open your arms widely. You know, some people have a very bright light in this world, and some people can't really bear that kind of bright light. I would say I'm one of those. I much prefer to be doing this in my home. And, you know, one of the other things that we have really been blessed by to do this is our children and all of our children, you know, they've all come to us from adoption and foster care. And we know that this is not a perfect world we live in. It is absolutely not. But they know that Jesus isn't some prop we pull out Sunday morning and, you know, for youth group. Right. They know that the narrative that says Jesus is alive and he hears our prayers, it comes out every time we pass the Bibles down the long row of guests. And it happens every time that we invite Jesus into a conversation with our unbelieving neighbors, not to stop the conversation, but to deepen it. You know, you and I are both students of literature. We love narrative form. We've thought a lot about it. And this world has been tutored on a false narrative, a polarizing narrative, one that says, I cannot love you if I don't agree with everything
right.
you do.
Right.
And, you know, if that's the truth, then no parent loves a child ever. You know, it's a false narrative. It's a bad question, even to ask the question. And so what I really try to do in this book is it's a very personal book. It's actually more personal than my other two books. You can imagine that. And I try very much to just invite people into the very messiness of our home because, you know, home hospitality is not entertainment. It's living your real life before your unbelieving neighbors and in vital ways, displaying a means of grace with the hope that you meet a stranger and you help that stranger become a neighbor, and you meet a neighbor and you help that neighbor become part of the family of God. And when that starts to happen in a neighborhood, that changes the way people think about Christians and the Christian faith. But even more importantly, because this is not a PR campaign, as you can probably imagine, I'm not really good at those. This is not a PR campaign. What it does is it gives glory to God. And it honors God, and it says that in this world, in this dark world, that Christians can be joyful, loving, courageous, bold people. We can turn the other cheek, genuinely so, and we can be hospitable even when we've been burned before, because we believe that Jesus lives. And because of that, and because of the power that comes from the resurrection, we can do this. We can love our neighbor. It's, you know, it is part of those great commandments, right? But it's the one that's hard to do because our fear gets in the way.
But,
and so I write about it just so that people will not be so afraid.
Well, right. And you know, also to be clear, now your husband is a pastor. So
he is, yes.
In a way, I guess there's just something beautiful about him taking his pastorate into your home, you know, the idea that he's
absolutely
fully functioning at the table. And again, you know, not everybody has the energy or the ability. There's some people that, you know, at the end of the day, the last thing they want to do is see another person, you know, and That's just the way it is. But you're opening up the possibilities. We're going to go to a break here, folks. I love this. We're talking about hospitality. The book is The Gospel Comes with a House Key by Rosaria Butterfield. We'll be right back.
Friday night, it was late. I was walking you home. We got down to the gate and I was dreaming of the night. Would it turn out right?
Following is a true story.
My name is David Bryant. When I was 37, my wife and I decided to get term life insurance through SelectQuote. Just 3 years later, I was diagnosed with ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Because of life insurance, the people I love most in this world will be protected no matter what happens to me. I know that the dreams I have for my family can still come true. Financial security, to stay in the home we became a family in, and for our children to be able to go to college. I reached out to SelectQuote because I wanted to share my story. If just one person purchases life insurance, I know I will have made a difference.
SelectQuote can find a 37-year-old male a $500,000 policy for under a dollar a day.
If there are people you care about, you need life insurance. It may be the single most important financial decision of your life.
Don't put off protecting your family. Get your free quote now. Call 800-671-7070. That's 800-671-7070. 800-671-7070. Or go to SelectQuote.com. This is a paid endorsement. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Not available in all states.
Hi, this is Rhett Rasmussen of BestHotGrill.com. You've heard about our Solera infrared grills at BestHotGrill.com, but did you know we also make the best gas logs for your fireplace? You've probably seen Rasmussen gas logs and fireballs on TV and in the movies. We've got sizes to fit all fireplaces, styles to fit every decor, and we even do custom designs for large and unusual fireplaces. Lighting these logs is as easy as pushing a button. Realistic Rasmussen gas logs look great even when the fire is off. For regions prone to power outages, gas logs are an excellent source of emergency heat with no electricity required. We've been making them since the 50s, so you can buy a Rasmussen gas log with confidence. So go to besthotgrill.com to find the products you need to keep you warm inside and outside of your home while eating great grilled food. Learn more at besthotgrill.com. That's besthotgrill.com. besthotgrill.com.
First question for you in this segment, Rosaria. Were you ever once a boogie singer?
No.
Yes or no?
No.
Answer
that really quickly.
Okay.
No,
okay. Fine.
No.
All right. We'll move on. But I just wanted to give you an opportunity to share if you'd ever been a boogie singer. Some of us have. Okay. The book is The Gospel Comes with a House Key. You say, at least you've said this to me in the past, that when you were in this committed lesbian relationship, hospitality was a part of your life. In other words, this is something that it didn't occur to you when you became a Christian. You're bringing this into your faith from the world before you were a Christian.
You know, it's a bit of a both and, but absolutely. That my first experience with hospitality was in the LGBTQ community in the 90s, when the AIDS virus, then called GRID, gay-related immunodeficiency disorder.
That's really early.
Ravaging. Yeah, it was really early. It was just ravaging through our community, and people were dying. And maybe the church was there, but I never saw it. And one of the things that happened during that time is the community started to coalesce. And, you know, that is not something that's normal. I will just tell you that women who identify as lesbian and men who identify as gay have very little in common. And then add all the other alphabets of the alphabet soup, and you get fractioning identity politics. And then add, add the identity politics that says my victim status is my identity. And
right.
You can imagine how difficult it would be to get this group together. And, you know, but yet there we were. every night of the week in my community, someone's home was open for food and fellowship and just to stand between you and suicide or alcohol or drugs, because there was a lot of work to do. People were dying and we were taking it seriously. And so hospitality, I just tell people that I learned hospitality in my LGBTQ community. And, you know, I'm a Presbyterian, so I'm not a Baptist. Maybe if I were a Baptist, I would have learned it. But I'm a Presbyterian. You could starve to death if I hadn't learned it somewhere. Okay, let's be clear. But I was really intrigued because actually Ken and Floyd Smith were equally open and regular. So the two things about radically ordinary hospitality that were consistent with both my LGBTQ community and my Christian home today, but that I also saw in Ken Smith's home, is that this was not occasional hospitality done when the budget and the calendar allowed.
Right.
This was regular and it was open. And sometimes people say, how open is open? I mean wide open. So that's very important because when Christians are programmatic about hospitality, when you're fussy about these lists, you know, oh, these lists we keep. One of the things you don't understand is that you're excluding some people without even knowing it. People with secret addictions or secret abusive lives, they don't know if they're going to be either sober or safe three Tuesdays from, you know, last week.
That is something, honestly, that never in a million years would have occurred to me. That's an extraordinary.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
If you want to be inclusive, then you need to be regular, because people whose lives are really compromised by abuse or addiction, on the fly, they could say, hey, you know what? It's 5:30 and I'm sober or I'm safe. And I think I'll wander over to the Butterfields. What's going on there tonight? So, you know, part of casting a wide net means understanding a little bit about what the barriers are. I'm not a big fan, as you know, of preaching the world to the church. I'm so sick of that. I'm really tired of that.
Of preaching the what? I'm sorry?
Preaching the world to the church as opposed to the church to the world.
Right,
you know,
right.
Telling the church, you know, if you really want to be on the right side of history, then you just need to capitulate on this idea that the Bible is true and vital and vibrant and alive and powerful and loving. So, you know, I'm not willing to compromise on that. But I do think that what happens when you practice daily, regular, and maybe it's not daily, maybe it's almost daily. I think what happens when you practice hospitality by doing whatever you do and opening your arms wide and inviting people in, then what you're doing is you're getting upstream of the culture war. And that's really important right now. It's important that people be able to taste and see that the Lord is good, as Psalm 34 says. It's important that that people understand that we aren't in this because of some worldview. I mean, Christianity has an important worldview attached to it, but we're in it because of what Christ has done and is doing, and the most powerful issue that we need to all face is our own sin. That's what's going to undo us. Your sin's not really going to undo me yet, but mine will. And only in Christ can a person learn how to hate your sin without hating yourself. And that's also really key, because we do live in a world where we are filled with shame in this world. It's a loud shame. It's a different shame than our grandparents faced.
I want to come back to that. That's too big of an idea. We've got Creedence Clearwater Revival interrupting us. We're going to be right back, folks, talking about important things with Rosaria Butterfield. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.
Hey folks, this is Eric Metaxas. I often talk on this program about Relief Factor. Why do I talk about it? Well, I use it. I use it every single day. If you have aches and pains from exercise or whatever it is, just age, a lot of times people say, well, I'll take some ibuprofen, or I'll take, you know, I would never want to take something like that regularly. It's one thing if you have a headache once in a while, but if you've got aches and pains, I would try to deal with it in a way that is not toxic. So Relief Factor is what works for me. You can check it out at relieffactor.com. $19.95 gets you the Quick Start Pack. That'll be plenty to let you know in 3 weeks whether it works for you or doesn't. 80% of the people who get the Quick Start Pack reorder, so that tells you that it works for them. I think it'll work for you. Relieffactor.com. If you're climbing the stairs, getting out of the car, any of these things, opening up a jar in the kitchen, and you have recurrent pain like that, I would say first try Relief Factor. That, to me, is what I would do. In fact, that's what I did. Relieffactor.com.
Imagine a politician saying this today. I have wondered at times what the Ten Commandments would have looked like if Moses had run them through the U.S. Congress. That is a quote from Ronald Reagan. He showed us through his life, his faith, and with his words that Judeo-Christian values and principles matter. You can help spread the legacy of Ronald Reagan, and you can do it by getting a Reagan email address. Right now, if you have a Gmail, AOL, Yahoo, or other big tech company email address, you help them market their service with every email you send. In return, they scan your emails and target you with unwanted advertising. Well, thanks to our sponsor, ReaganPrivacy.com, you can instead share the Reagan name with every email you send, and they won't scan your emails. They'll leave you alone. Get an email address you'll be proud to own at ReaganPrivacy.com. Your very own personal private email address is available to you at ReaganPrivacy.com. Get your Reagan email address right now at ReaganPrivacy.com.
Even though the 4th is behind us, every July is our Independence Month. Become a patriot and declare your independence from big mobile companies. Break free from big mobile's hidden fees, line charges, and complicated pricing with Patriot Mobile, where pricing is simple and straightforward. Patriot Mobile also covers your switching and installment fees as a contract credit, up to $1,500 per account when you join. And each Patriot's bill contributes vital donations to conservative organizations that fight for our freedom. This month, enjoy a new Motorola E4 or an E4 Plus smartphone for only $4 a month. Save over 40% on a terrific water-resistant phone. Offer only available while supplies last. Make the switch today by calling 1-800-A-PATRIOT or by visiting patriotmobile.com. That's 1-800-A-PATRIOT or patriotmobile.com. Be a patriot. Switch and make conservative change every time you use your cell phone. Patriot Mobile, your new cellular resource for patriotism.
Warning, property protected by electric fence. Sharks sighted in water.
There are a lot of warnings you don't want to miss.
Bridge out.
Especially when it comes to your identity and the personal information on your devices. That's why new LifeLock Identity Theft Protection now adds Norton Security for more protection than ever. LifeLock uses proprietary technology to detect threats, like your personal info for sale on the dark web. And Norton Security helps protect up to 5 devices from ransomware and other online threats. Plus, if you have a problem, our agents will work to fix it. No one can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But missing a warning sign...
Warning. Minefield ahead.
...could be dangerous. Join now and get an additional 10% off your first year. Go to LifeLock.com and enter promo code SMART. That's promo code SMART. New LifeLock with Norton. More detection, more protection.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. It's gonna be a bright sunshiny day.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show, The Great Johnny Nash. I'm talking to Rosaria Butterfield, and we were just talking about something really heavy and important. Rosaria, you were talking about shame, and I want to get back to what you were just saying, if you can reprise that thought.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, sometimes people think of hospitality as something you do to impress people or maybe entertain people or pass the time, but really one of the things it allows is the church, the house, the Christian home, to be a bridge between the church and the world. And when you become one of those bridge places, one of the things you realize is that the most crippling reality of our world is shame. People feel a great deal of shame. And the end of Romans 1 reminds us that, you know, that if you cannot receive a blessing from God, and you know what? You can't. If you are living in sin, you cannot receive a blessing from God. But that doesn't mean you don't want to be blessed. So the end of Romans 1 shows us that if you cannot receive a blessing from God, you will demand it for men. And I think that's exactly what's going on right now, both within the LGBTQ movement, but also within the gay Christian movement. It's an understandable desire. It's a longing to be blessed by God. And if you can't get it, then you just are going to have all the support you can from everybody else. And what I was saying is that what people don't understand, especially with sexual sin goes really deep. And it's very hard to hate your sexual sin because it feels like you're hating yourself.
Right.
And so much sexual sin, including unchosen homosexual desires, it comes from the fall of Adam. It comes from original sin. It's the way Adam thumbprints my life. And so it's really easy to just want to push that aside and say, well, it can't be that important. I mean, you know, I feel it, therefore it must be okay. And all the other things I'm doing are okay. And yet, you know, the Bible makes it clear that we are held responsible even for original sin. That's why conversion matters. So one of the things that you can get to around a table as you're talking and as you're talking honestly and openly is this question of shame. And one of the most important things Christians can model for people is how to hate your sin without hating yourself. And the only way that you can do that is to actually see your life in Christ as bigger and brighter and more real and more hopeful, pointing forward to the New Jerusalem, the truth, the place we're all going to end up. If we can see that, if we can really see that our life in Christ is the most important thing and that Christ will never leave us nor forsake us, we can hate our sin without hating ourselves because we know that Christ stands between the two. But this is ultimately, you know, this ultimately is a theological question too. But my experience is that my neighbors, they care about these things. This world cares about the questions of right and wrong and good and evil.
Right.
And even if as Christians we, you know, we land on a different side of it, that doesn't mean that we are divided from our neighbors in being moral people or being people who care about morality. And furthermore, the Bible tells us that God has put eternity inside of the heart of every single person. And so, you know, you can gain much by being both earthly and spiritual good to your neighbors. You can gain much by accompanying them in their suffering. And not only is God blessed, but you can get to some of those harder places. You want to be gospel good to your neighbors. I mean, you want to be gospel good to your neighbors. That's why you write books and you interview people on the radio and you're out there because you want the name of Jesus to be valued. But even for those of us who aren't out there, we're very much just in here. There's a vital place that the things that you do in a pretty minor way, God magnifies them. And that's important because your neighbors, you know, just in the same way that you're busy and sometimes frightened and struggling and you don't have the help you need, your neighbors are vexed by the things of this world and by the sin of this world, both the sin of their own doing and the sin that is landing upon them, right? I mean, we're both English majors. Life always happens somewhere between pathos and tragedy. So
between what?
Pathos.
Oh, pathos and tragedy, right.
Yeah, the outside entering in, but also, you know, the fateful decisions that we make. But the wonderful news of the gospel, and this is the news that people need to have. They need to hear it. It's not too late. I don't care where you are. It's not too late. Because when you start dealing differently with God, he starts dealing differently with you. And when Jesus becomes your advocate, everything changes. But too often Christians are just put off by the sin of others. And either they forget or they never realize that, you know, some of us needed to be rescued.
Oh, I mean,
I couldn't make a decision for Christ. I had to, somebody had to come get me.
That's right.
And you too. And so that's our job too. For those of us who are, you know, at, maybe at home and have the time and the means to do that. But I also try to explain in my book that it isn't just for people who own a home or have, you know, a pastor husband. Do what you do and open your arms a little wider. That's how this will work.
I have to say that, you know, this idea that we have to convert someone, there's something heretical about that.
It's sickening, isn't it?
It's
sickening. It makes me.
And why? Because you forget that God has to do the converting. And so it is our job to be available, to be in people's lives. Mm-hmm. We can pray for them. We can share things with them sensitively. But we have to trust that God wants to move them in his direction. And it's our job simply to create a place for that to happen without pushing. Sometimes when you push, it's game over. The people run away and you'll never get them back.
Oh,
and just to we're going to another break here. Hold that thought, Rosaria. Folks, I'm talking Rosaria Butterfield. The Gospel Comes with a House Key, the new book. We'll be right back.
Spend on your pest control each year? $200, $300, or even $500 or more? What if I said you could spend less than $25 a year, even less with promo code SAVE20? Then listen up. G'day, I'm Scott from Plug In Pest Free, and yes, it is possible to rid your home or business of unwanted pests for less than $25 per year. The answer is Plug In Pest Free. Our bestseller, the Plug-In Pest Free Pro, will cover up to 4,000 square feet. Now that's fair dinkum. For just a one-time cost of only $249, even less with promo code SAVE20, you'll be pest-free for years to come. Log on to gopestfree.com today. Use promo code SAVE20 and start driving those pests away. Don't spray and regret. Plug in and forget. Gopestfree.com. That's go. Pestfree.com, promo code SAVE20.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Fire your stockbroker and hire yourself. I'm Scott Bauer, and I've been a professional trader for over 25 years. I've traded for Goldman Sachs and was the first Amazon market maker at the Chicago Board Options Exchange. I'm also the CEO here at Prosper Trading Academy, the leading educational firm teaching people how to trade the markets. For a limited time, I'm giving away one of my favorite secret trading techniques used by thousands of our students every day to help build their financial future. To learn this technique right now, call my 24/7 voicemail and just leave your email address. I'll email you my free trading technique right away. Just call 1-800-228-2155. This is the very information my students use every day to invest in their financial future. Again, call 1-800-228-2155 in the next 30 minutes and leave your email address on my voicemail. That's 1-800-228-2155. Call 1-800-228-2155.
When I saw you standing there, I about fell out of my chair. And when you moved your mouth to speak, felt the blood go to my feet. Now it took time for me to know what you tried so not to show. There's something in my soul just cried. I see the one in your blue eyes.
Hey, folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. Lobo.
You know, Rosaria, it's funny talking to you because I realize that what you're talking about, these are principles that are right at the core of what it means to love and to share the good news. Mm-hmm. And I was even thinking, listening to Lobo there, like I love that song so much. And I thought to myself, in a way, what I think, I hope my bumper music will do is invite people in who might not think these conversations are for them. You know, it's just sort of say like, hey, come on, hang out. And, you know, we're all in different places and stuff. And I think that it's it's that lack of pressure. In other words, I think that if you're overly intent on getting somebody to, quote unquote, make a decision for Christ, you drive them away. And you have to be prepared to spend time. And, you know, what you're talking about is time. It's a lot of time. And that time is love, because you're showing that I love you enough to spend time.
And I think, too, we're willing to say, you know, in this day and age, your words cannot be stronger than your relationships. If they are, you're going to lose people. And so I think for many people, that's just sent them off to the echo chamber. Well, I better just, you know, talk to people who are just like me. But just the opposite is, I think, what Jesus is calling us to do. Build your relationships. Build them up so that you can have both strong relationships and strong words.
That is a very powerful aphorism. Can you say that again? I've never heard that. Is that original with you?
Yeah. I believe it is. I hope it is. Otherwise, I'll have to find our
I think address. I think yeah, you stole. No. I think you stole it from Oscar Wilde. I'm pretty sure.
Did I? No. I'm sure I didn't steal it from Oscar.
I was going to say. I'm pretty sure you didn't. Say it again. Say it again.
That your words can only be as strong as your relationships.
Right.
And therefore, what we should do is build our relationships for the purpose of making both our relationships strong and our words strong. And, you know, what you really want is you want to make sure that you leave people a lot of room to change their mind.
Correct.
The point is not an apologetics debate. The point is not to win an argument. It's to live your life openly for the gospel so that others can see, well, two things. One, you actually won't love them more if they become a Christian. I mean, you'll be happier because you know that you will share eternity with them, but you won't actually love them more. You will still love them, but that Jesus is there for them also. And that when Jesus says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light, he means it. And that in every life, Christian and non-Christian, there are great burdens. But in Christ, those crosses that you bear have other people to lift the load.
Oh, this is
Jesus himself and the church.
You
want your neighbors. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, we're out of time. It's terrible. But it's just a beautiful, beautiful sentiment to end on. Rosaria, thank you so much for being my guest. Terrific, terrific stuff. Folks, the book is The Gospel, comes with a house key. I hope you'll get a copy and transform your life and the lives of others to God's glory.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.